You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out here on PodcastJuice.net. Today we are doing a double review show, big movies for the summertime. First up is the Guardians of the Galaxy, but before we talk about that movie, got to introduce everybody here today. First off is Mr. Big Sexy and Sack. How are you, sir?
Actually, I'm well, and I actually caught a movie on the first weekend.
Ah.
Shocking.
There you go. Next up, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you?
Doing well. Preparing for the return of my daughter, who's been in Georgia for a month and a half. So we're excited.
All right. Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Had an awesome week. Wrestling is awesome, and I saw a dope film.
All right. Last but not least, and also we want to send some birthday shouts out to you. I think he's 50 years old.
No.
All right, see, both of y'all can step off. Let alone being 50.
Big shout out to my man, Mr. Q-Storm. How are you, sir? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, bro. I'm a little ashamed of myself, I got to be honest. Because this weekend, I chose White Folks in Space over The Godfather.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, that's all right. You're forgiven. You'll be forgiven this time. Let me get you a pass.
Well, I made the same choice, Q, so.
I think we all went white first. In some
and we and we never went back.
Well, all right. Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so let's get right into it. First up is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. And we've talked about this movie ad nauseum on this podcast over the last few months, if not this whole year. And it's finally here. Of course, this is the movie that is unlike any other Marvel movie, where it's about these really unknown characters and they're in outer space. And you look at the trailer, it's this crazy outer space adventure. So I'm going to just get right into it. I'm going to give my quick thoughts on it. We'll go around the table. So first of all, Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't know a lot about these characters, which probably a lot of us didn't. I went into this pretty much dry. I just knew the names from the trailer, and I did look back a little bit at the comics trying to see what it was, but still didn't know. But I will say this. This movie was excellent. I was so taken with the world or the universe that this movie exists in. It is a space opera, action comedy, whatever it was, but this is a space movie, a sci-fi movie, which of the likes we have not seen in a very long time. I love the fact that it made me sort of like pay attention, and it kind of drug me along a little bit because I didn't know some of the things that were going on. It was just introducing a lot of new stuff, and I just sat back and, you know, fell into it. You know, the colors of the movie, the spaceships, the swashbuckling, of course, is a very funny movie. The characters, I loved it all the way. You know, it's not a perfect movie to me. I had some questions of the villain. I thought he was just a little weak, but he looked excellent. I mean, everyone looked excellent. You know, the presentation was beyond anything I've seen. So that was the only little part of the villain. It wasn't all the way, like, he could have been grander or something. But other than that, just hands down, last thing I'll say, I'll let other people get more into detail. The fact that the characters, two of the characters are CGI characters, and at no point in this movie did I think they were not real. They played their parts excellent. This, some people, we're going to compare this to Star Wars, but if the prequels had have been made now, even though the story probably still could be shoddy, at least the Jar Jar characters and all of that other background stuff would have looked at least more realistic, because this movie does exactly what I think George Lucas was trying to do, but it was just too early in the game technology-wise, where you could have that CG character absolutely seamless with everything else that was going on. You couldn't even tell it wasn't there. I thought that was remarkable. There was nothing in this movie that took me out of the movie. That was excellent. So I'll leave it at that. I love that it sort of opens the door to where it could go next. I'm curious to see them tie the Avengers or the other Earthbound Marvel characters into this. And last thing I'll say, I went back and read the Guardians of the Galaxy trade. Started reading the trades last night. And it's now that I know certain characters, I can read those books and be right into it. But it starts out with Tony Stark is there with them. You know, he left Earth. I don't even know why, but he's there with them. And I'm like, okay. And there's stuff with Tony and the Rocket is hilarious. But there's one part in a book I was reading where Tony smashed Gamora. It was hilarious. I was like, and he couldn't handle it. Like, she smashed him, basically. I just thought it was funny. I hope they have some way they can get Tony Stark's character on the screen with those. I just think they'd be hilarious. But anyway, that's just me. I really want to hear with Big Sexy. What did you think of this movie?
All right. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I took the girlfriend with me, and she's cracking up through the whole movie as well. There were so many things. When they had Yondu be, you know, like the fence or the pirate, makes sense. I was at first a little shocked by that, because in the original incarnation of the Guardians, Yondu is a Guardian of the Galaxy. And he's not quite as, you know, bottom of the barrel scumbaggy as Michael Rooker played him. Other than that, my knowledge of the new group, like the new Star-Lord, I was prepared to hate him until I saw the opening scene. And he's starting to get his dance on. I'm like, okay, what do we have here? And actually, you know, a little sidebar, the placement of those classic 70s songs throughout the movie was just so well done. So well done. Zoe Saldana looked great in the green. I felt like Captain Kirk. I'm like, I'm gonna hit this. You know, the story was great. The only nitpick, and this is a very, very minor nitpick, is when they were, you know, grabbed up by the collector, the woman who grabbed the gem, and I wish I knew which gem that was, but the woman who grabbed it, her name was Karina. In the books, and this is my geek cred coming out full force, in Avengers issue 76, she was killed because it turned out she is the daughter of the collector. In this film, they made her a assistant. So I kind of had a little issue with that. But I, on the other hand, I loved Ronan, because Ronan is, to me, is that guy. You know, if Big Ken, shout out to Big Ken, is all about Darth Vader, I'm Ronan. That's the dude. They shouldn't have killed him. But Ronan is the dude, and he stood up to Thanos. And you know Thanos ain't the one. But he stood up to him because he got that gem. He was like, what's up, player? I'll handle this myself. I don't like that they killed him. But, and I saw in the credits, I didn't see him in the film, but I saw the Firefly guy, Nathan Fillion, was in this.
That's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see him, but then I never watched Firefly. But everything about that movie was just fantastic. It's like you said, Mike, you know, the prequels should have watched this. Granted, this wasn't out yet, but this is what they were trying to capture and failed miserably. I went in with pretty lukewarm expectations and was blown away. I enjoyed the hell out of this one.
All right, Mr. Aunt Pooh, what do you say? And Aunt Pooh, are you there?
That was me being speechless. Oh, okay. Now, you guys know that I watch a ton of different YouTube videos, one of them is called CinemaSin, where they just go through and just pretty much, as you say, ether a film with all the different sins. And unfortunately, it's really messed up movie going for me when I go to theaters, especially when I know the source material. So like the first 3 minutes of this film, I was just in my head like, oh, no hero can, every hero has to have a killed parent. Lame music shows that character is lame. And then after 3 minutes, I stopped. Not because I forgot to count sins, but because there were no sins to give. And that's saying something. I thought this movie was great. I think for me, the fact that I didn't know the source material was very, very helpful, because I wasn't a cynic or a skeptic saying, oh, that ain't right. Oh, that ain't right. Oh, that ain't right. And even with Thanos, who I did know, I just was like, shh, man. Like, when he stole that gem, I was just thinking like, oh, come on now. You know, Thanos is the wrong one to fuck with. That was the first thing I even said. I was like, wait a minute, that's bullshit. Thanos is the wrong one. And I was like, wait a minute, let me stop. But yeah, I thought this movie was great. I think it's like a five tool picture, in my opinion. It hits the kids, except for there being a few cuss words and the way that Ronan murked that first dude with the hammer.
Oh, he had to go.
that could be a little kind of rough for kids to watch. But you know, I mean, hey, I ain't got no kids, so who am I to tell you not to bring your kids to this film? It has a somewhat budding love story. It has that geek stuff there. It has adventure, and it's somehow it manages to be a dumb popcorn flick while still having a tight writing and all that. You know, I like to say, it's not how you tell it, it's what you tell. And the problem, like with the Transformers and some of the X-Men's and the Fantastic Four, is, you know, they try to get all cute and put their own little touch on it, but they don't take any care to actually flesh out the characters, make sure the writing is tight, make sure there are no plot holes, make sure there are no cinema sins that got people scratching their head like, okay, fuck this movie now. And my last comment is like, George Lucas and J.J. Abrams, goddamn, you need to go find somebody to teach a class on this so you can make sure your next film is just as good. And if I'm Disney, I'm like, look, J.J., you got one shot, because we can pull them off the bench for you.
All right. We
would gladly call Marvel and say, yo, you guys got Star Wars. You got Star Wars now.
All right. Mr. Q Storm, what do you think?
Well, I just put up my review on Podcast Use this morning. In short, I'll say at the end of the movie, I didn't know whether to do the Rudy slow clap or the Dead Poets Society jumping up on the desks. Okay, let me just say this. It's rare that I like a movie to begin with.
No.
Okay. It's rare that two of the characters are going to be CGI and you expect me to buy into them. Okay. And it's rare that I'm going to go into a movie not knowing anything, particularly a comic book movie, and not know anything about the characters and enjoy it. Marvel is on that other level shit, okay? Because this movie, I'm not going to say I liked it better than Captain America, but goddamn, this movie was great. To Big Sexy's point, when Star-Lord or whatever, Peter Quill, gets out of the ship and it's all serious, it's a barren planet, I'm like, okay, this is going to start. This movie is going to follow the same beats as every other hero movie. No. I don't know. I can't remember what the song was. Was it Cherry Bomb or whatever? The first song. And he starts dancing, and I'm like, damn it, don't make me like this. The hero's not supposed to be dancing, but this white boy got some moves. And he goes into that temple. I was like, oh shit, this is straight up Raiders of the Lost Ark now. Then he grabs the thing and Jaimon Hansu is chasing him, and they start shooting him.
Wait, that's how you say his name?
That's how I say it. I'm like, oh shit, this is Star Wars now. And then when all five of them got together, I'm like, damn, this is Avengers now. I'm like, stop it. I don't want to like this movie. This movie has a talking tree and a talking raccoon in it. I'm not supposed to like this. The script was good. The story was good. All the characters had great on-screen presence. They all got some shine. I would say if I had one nitpick, I thought while he wasn't bad, but you could tell that Dave Bautista is not a trained actor.
No, but I agree.
It didn't matter. It didn't take. That was the only thing that kind of took me out of it a little bit, because he kind of mumbled his lines a little bit. But when he had some, when he needed to be on point, he was pretty much on point. And I got to get at Mike a little bit. We went at it a little bit offline. I'm with you, Big Sexy. Ronan, that is that dude you don't fuck with. Okay? That dude was one of the best villains I've seen in a long time. I thought he looked dope. I thought he had a presence that, you know, you look at like Thor, the Dark World, and you look at that punk ass Malekith or whatever that dude's name was. Ronan was the exact opposite of that cat. Okay, I thought he was great, and I'm with you. There's no way they should have killed him. I would love to. He to me was like Darth Maul. I was like, I want to see more of him. I want to know his backstory. I want to know why is he so angry at the Xandarians, and why does he want to kill them all? I mean, he alluded to it a little bit, but I thought he was a great villain. His voice, his presence. When he had that Infinity Stone in his hammer, I was like, this is a comic book. This is one of those galactic comic books come to life. He just had the poses and the voice. He was like, Xandarians, your doom has come. I was like, oh, this is the shit. So, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Guardians of the Galaxy, four reels. I gave it four reels out of five. I'm going to go see it again. I might even pay the $17 to see it in IMAX 3D again. Everybody did their thing. I mean, it was popping on all cylinders.
All right. Mr. Sean Hill, take us home. What's your verdict on this?
Well, you know, I didn't see it, so...
That's right.
But hearing you guys, I do. I'm gonna play. I want to play host here for a minute. Do you guys feel? Sounds like you guys didn't really have preconceived notions as far as knowing the backstory of the characters and whatnot. Do you think that helped you to enjoy it because you're not nitpicking the characters and the scenario and the story, and they didn't do this, they did this in issue, you know, 275 or whatever.
I can answer that real quick. I mean, for me, I was so into the movie, I was angry or frustrated with myself that I did not know more about the characters going in. Because I was curious to know, I mean, when I saw Michael Rooker on screen, I'm like, is that how Yondu is in the comics? No. I didn't know the character at all. But I'm like, if he's like this in the comics, I got to read this comic. Because basically, he was basically playing Merle from The Walking Dead.
Pretty much.
I mean, after seeing this movie, I was like, damn, I wish I knew more about this universe. I knew about it when they had a dude named Starhawk.
Exactly.
Right? I didn't read it, but I know the costume with the kind of flock of seagulls headpiece.
Yep.
So I didn't know any of these characters at all, but I want to know, and I'm hoping one of you guys, maybe you, Big Sexy, can tell me what I need to pick up to just kind of get the gist of the universe here, what books I need to read.
You know, I wish I could be of more help. And to answer Sean's question, I went in with a little bit of a decreased expectation because the Guardians that I know are Starhawk and Charlie 27 and Vance Astro and Martin X and Nikki. So I'm thinking, I remember when they did the reboot of these characters back when Nova was running and the Marvel Cosmic Universe was having this big crossover called Annihilation, I believe. And I remember taking a look at it. I didn't read it, but I took a look at, you know, who were the Guardians. I'm like, my first thought was, Star-Lord is not a Guardian, so this is some bullshit. And I walked away. And then I had heard before I saw the film last night that they've already greenlit a sequel. I'm like, well, that's fucking balls. You know, a movie hasn't even come out yet, and you're talking sequel? Yeah, okay, we all see. And the original incarnation of Drax, to me, was the one that I know and the one I prefer. He looked more like the Vision, in a sense. He had the cape, and it was the same color set of purple and green. Ew. But he looked more like the Vision, and he just, you know, had a different vibe to him. So this, all these later incarnations of these characters are from the recent reboot. And so again, I was very skeptical. And so when I went in last night, I knew the characters. I don't know Rocket all that well, but I know Drax, I know Gamora, I definitely know Ronan, because if you read Captain Marvel, that's where you get Ronan. And if you read some Warlock, that's where you get Gamora. I think Rocket's first appearance is in, of all things, an Incredible Hulk issue back in the day. And Star-Lord, the Essential Star-Lord's story was written and drawn by John Byrne, and it appeared in Marvel Preview number 4. This was back when Marvel was doing oversized black and white magazines of original material back in the 70s. So track that. I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's Preview issues number 4 and 5. And
that's familiar now that you say that, yeah.
Well, this is what I do. And start there and do a little reading.
But what is that, Star-Lord? What was it again?
Star-Lord. It was Marvel Preview number 4. That was his first appearance and origin of him.
Okay, I'm going to be going to eBay soon.
I tell you what, because I just started reading it. I just started reading the reboot, I guess, is the one, Brian Michael Bendis, which is actually these characters. Yes. And when I read that, and I guess it came out years ago, at this point even, I'm thinking, obviously they had a plan to do this, because when you read that, and after I've seen this movie, it is so tied into it. Like, you obviously, that, you know, you could tell, like, okay, wow, they were really laying the foundation for this movie. Nobody may have read it, but it's there. Those characters you saw in the movie are there. Those, you know, not the previous versions of the Guardians, and it's very, very close. Even the humor is all in that book. So it's very interesting now to go back and read it. I actually kind of want to read what they're doing, just because I was so enamored with the movie. I can only hope that non-comic book people, and they probably won't, but they might want to, you know what, let me go pick up one of these trades. I like these characters. My kids want to see them. I know there's a Guardians of the Galaxy animated cartoon show about to come out.
What?
They announced that at Comic-Con.
Oh, cool.
So they are definitely trying to... But I will just say, to answer this question, I think it helped that I didn't know. And I like that I didn't know about it, because it feels like I'm watching something original. And I don't know everything about it going in. And I love that. That's rarely do we get to see one of these types of properties that we don't know. I mean, when's the last time we saw a science fiction extravaganza like this? You know, and so hopefully it opens the door for other stuff. I actually personally believe this is Disney just getting everybody ready for Star Wars. I don't think they do nothing without thinking of the next thing. So to me, this was like, okay, boom, here's your space adventure. Next year, yeah, we're going to blow your fucking head off, but at least you're open to it. This worked. So now we can really go all out with this other real shit. But
can I ask a couple questions of thing? Well, the first question is about backstory. Not the Kree. What I know of the Kree is that Captain Marvel, I thought he was a Kree, but he's a white character.
No. Kree are blue and are white. There's two types.
Oh. Okay.
They're not all blue.
Well, thank you.
So Captain Marvel is a Kree.
Now, was Ms. Marvel a Kree as well?
No.
But didn't she get her powers from the Kree?
She got her powers from... Oh, God, I have to go way back. She was a supporting character in the original Captain Marvel run back in the 70s. And in the mid-70s, or later 70s, they gave her her own book, because Captain Marvel did something to her and she became Ms. Marvel. I mean, he didn't do anything in an evil sense. But it wasn't a blood transfusion, but it was something like that. Okay. And then she, you know, got her power set and just went from there.
Now, the other question about the Kree again. I thought the Kree were... I know they were in an intergalactic war with the Skrulls, but are all the Kree as evil as Ronan? I thought they were good guys.
But he said he was a radical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, Ronan isn't the top dog for the Kree universe. It's the Supreme Intelligence who's running things. So Ronan's like his number one hitman more than anything else. So it all comes from the Supreme Intelligence who's running things.
Supreme Intelligence. That's the blob-looking thing with the two?
Okay. Yeah, with all the dreads, or what do you want to call them? Yeah.
So go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mike. Just one last question. There was one question I had about the film. When we first see Peter Quill on the planet, where he gets the orb, he pulls out like a flashlight thing. He starts seeing ghost images of kids running around and people. What was that? Because they never explained that.
That I don't know.
I thought maybe these were ghost people living on the planet, or he was looking back in time? And
I think he was looking back in time because the planet was desolate. Sure
what the point was, why they showed us that, because it didn't lead to anything.
To enhance the desolation.
What's that?
To enhance the desolation of that planet.
Oh, it seemed like a lot of money to spend on effects and no payoff, but okay.
Now, was the opening song, I'm looking at the soundtrack now, it wasn't Hooked on a Feeling. Wasn't it Come and Get Your Love, the Redbone song?
Yes, that was it. That was it. Yep.
Guys, all right. So for this point, I want to throw this out to the listeners. We're going to get into some spoiler territory. So you've heard our review. So if you don't want to be spoiled anymore, you want to stop listening after this point, because I want to ask a few things about the story. So after you've seen this movie and you've seen the other Marvel movies, and there is sort of the common thread that these movies all have, and that is these Infinity Gems or Stones. Do you see this? What are your thoughts? Do you see this movie? I don't know if it's going to be Avengers 3, but it seems as if they're assembling the, getting ready for the Infinity Gauntlet type of situation. What do you think about that? Go to Mark first.
Since Disney owns it all now, I don't know how the licensing with the Avengers film works and those characters, but if they can put together an Infinity Gauntlet type film, as a fan, I would love to see it, but I don't know if that's possible to the cost that would be involved with getting everybody on board for relatively small parts. So I don't know, but don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. I'm definitely in. But I don't know if that's where they're going with it. But I'm really curious to see how the next Avengers film adds to the tapestry here with the use of Thanos.
Well, to Big Sexy's point, for an Infinity, if you're going to go by canon of the Infinity Gauntlet, I mean, they don't need all of those characters. They definitely need Captain America. Definitely need Thor. Captain America definitely need Thor for his part in it. Definitely Iron Man to sell the pick. But I mean, Scarlet Witch, Hulk, well, they really don't need Hulk. They really definitely don't need Black Widow unless they want to, sell the pick a little bit more, or Hawkeye.
Well, too, we got to keep in mind, Kevin Feige, whatever his name is, the head guy over there at Marvel Pictures, he has stated that all these actors, probably aside from Tony Stark, but Downey Jr. at this point, they all signed like 9 picture deals, so they've already signed to be in whatever movies Marvel wants to do. So this obviously they can bring any of these guys into these movies. Not gonna cost them any money.
Another thing, and I wouldn't say it was a nitpick or I guess a small flaw is, I was kind of lost in this whole Kree, Xandar conflict. And I think they definitely needed to put an exposition in and let us know who these races of people were, how long this war has been going on, so we can really kind of care. Because it's like there's this big intergalactic war going on that we really should care about. And it's like, okay, I'm a little lost.
But if you do that and you bring in more of the Xandarians, I can't believe I just said that, then it becomes a Nova movie, because you can't really get that far into Xandar without talking about Nova.
But they had the Nova Corps there, though.
They did talk about the Nova Corps, and everybody, the guys who were in the Corps had the little ensemble insignias on, but you didn't. I think they did enough.
Yeah, I think if you go too deep, this movie doesn't. It moves away from being. We felt like it was a little much, and we have at least some knowledge of the books. So imagine a regular moviegoer who's already made sort of be apprehensive to see such a movie anyway, and they don't know nothing about it. I think that's what makes this movie great, is that it doesn't over-explain the stuff. It is fun. I think they keep the fun and the adventure factor, and you don't have to go to the minute of who's the Kree. I mean, you want to know what that is? You can go look in the books, right? They've got all this other ancillary material for you to look at, but I think for just this movie just a starting point, They didn't need to go that deep. To me, that was something I couldn't say. I can compare it to Star Wars, the first movie. You didn't need to know all the other story of the Jedis and the Empire. He just told you just a little bit, and it was enough to push it further, and you followed the characters. I think this was more about the actual characters.
I agree.
All of that backspace.
I agree 100%.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I read the Infinity Gauntlet. I guess the trade. It took place on like the edge of Infinity, and Thanos is on a throne, and he meets. It has all these cosmic characters, right? It has Eternity and Galactus, and is that the Infinity Gauntlet storyline we're talking about?
Well, yeah, and I mean in a sense of, and I don't remember that full story, but just in the fact that obviously there seemed to be assembling these gems to that glove, and all the movies seem to have elements of that. I would assume they're leading to this possibly.
Actually, now that you got me thinking about it, the next movie, if they're going to get into the gauntlet, they got to come up somehow with the Thanos quest where he gets all of the gems, because that mm-hmm. was a great story.
Yeah. And they've said that Thanos is not going to be in Avengers 2, so it is curious where they're going. But go ahead, Q.
No, I was going to say I was going to make that point. This film, which was a gamble, knocked it out of the park. So it just seems weird that we've established this storyline that's now we're going to have to wait who knows how long to pick up. And Avengers 2 is going to be about Ultron. It seems like you're kind of putting brakes on a storyline that I want to see more about.
Well, but the thing is that who knows that storyline outside of the hardcores?
But I don't think it matters if you went to see that film and you've been exposed to the fact that Thanos is trying to collect these gems. I think you would want to know why, and I think everyone knows that all these films are tied together, whether they're geeks or not. So it seems like if I had no clue, my thinking would be, all right, they're going to answer that question in Avengers 2, or they should answer that question in Avengers 2, because I saw Thanos at the end of Avengers 1.
But Mike, Thanos wanted, if you just look at this self-contained film, you saw that Thanos wanted that gem. They mentioned these other gems out there, and that they contained powers, or they were in some sort of a containment. But they didn't say that Thanos was trying to get them all. It was Thanos saying, get me that gem.
That's true. You're right. Yeah,
there is. I agree with that. That is very true. But they have made a point to show us the same sort of character, and they still haven't answered the question why they keep showing them to you. There's obviously a reason why, again, he smirks in the Avengers. You just see him for a second, but you hear his presence in that movie with Loki, right? And now you actually get to see him talking, and it's, okay, that's the same guy that was in the Avengers. Okay, and for those who were paying attention, that was the same guy who was at the end of Thor: The Dark World, the collector. So obviously it's like, and then for those who look at the end of Captain America, there's the Tesseract, and that's one of those things too. So it's something there. I mean, even for the general movie public, there's something going on. You may not know what it is like we do, but it's obviously they're putting these pieces in there. I'm curious what the payoff will be.
Here's a lesser question, again, just from my not knowing this property that well. So I'm familiar with the character of Nova. He has the three discs on his chest. He has the golden helmet, and his powers, he can become a rocket, right? Is that Nova's right? Correct.
Basically.
Well, I guess I know Nova as a superhero, so yes. All of the Nova Corps, the people like John C. Reilly and the policemen, do they have that power or?
Not to the extent that Richard Rider, the original Nova, did. I don't know the new guy, because there's a new Nova running around, and he seems to be in the...
I'm talking about the guys in the film. They were all part of the Nova Corps.
Oh.
So are they all superheroes, or how did Nova...
No, Nova Corps is like the a lesser-powered Green Lantern Corps. These guys are cops, pretty much.
But then there's Nova, who is a super being.
Who is heavy, yeah.
Okay. Wow. It's all very confusing. All right.
So let me ask this last question about this movie and we'll move forward. And two questions. So of the Marvel character movies, not Marvel produced, but movies that have Marvel characters this year, and I think it was the last superhero movie. So can we rank where these movies fall? So that would open you up to having, X-Men and Spider-Man, all that stuff. So I want to know that. And then I also want to know, of the Marvel made movies this year, what's better, Cap or Guardians? We'll start with Big Sexy.
Are we talking all of them or the ones just from recent memory?
You can do all of them if you like. Either way.
All right. Number one, Avengers. Still Avengers. I'm sorry. Number one, Captain America 2. That's number one. Okay. Followed closely by Guardians, followed closely by Avengers. And then you have two groupings for me. You have the first Captain America, you have the first two Iron Mans, and you have the first two Thors in a group. And then under that, you have the second Thor, third Iron Man, and those god-awful Spider-Man movies. Ugh. You know, I mean the non-Tobey Maguire ones. Yeah, I said it. Okay. You
know. So you don't have any X-Men in there at all?
You know, the X-Men, to me, the films, that is, other than Charlie being played by Picard, I thought they were all just on Wolverine. Oh, shit, Wolverine. You know, the Wolverine guy, but the rest of them were just badly casted. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole affair between, what's his name, James Marsters? Whatever his name is. Cyclops guy and the very hot Famke Janssen, that just did not work. You know, there was no chemistry between those two. He looked like a, you know, a schoolboy trying to mac the hot teacher. It just didn't work for me at all.
I co-signed that.
Give me real quick, 2014 superhero movies in general. What's your top three?
Oh, shit, easy. Captain America 2, Guardians.
That's so easy.
I'm trying to keep it in this year.
Live radio, folks.
I know. He's stumped. It's not that
I
easy.
Can't sum up with the third one because those okay. two are so far ahead of the game.
All right. Aunt Pooh. So top 2014 superhero movie. Top three, excuse me.
Superhero. I'm sorry, just real quick to Big Sexy's a comic. He was saying that there's no chemistry between Famke and character and Scott. That's because the producers didn't want the chemistry between them. They wanted it between Wolverine and Jean Grey, which did not connect with me. And that was kind of true to the comics, you know, the geeky Scott going after the hot redhead. But for me, it's a 1A Winter Soldier, 1B Guardians of the Galaxy. I think from start to finish, Guardians of the Galaxy is an overall better film than Winter Soldier because I had some issues with the third act being somewhat similar to the Avengers, but that first two-thirds of the film is just so good that I have to give the edge to Winter Soldier. Number three, Days of Futures Past. Number four, a distant number four. Very, very, very distant. Like number three is Days of Future Past,
right.
And like 4,000 is Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay. All right.
That's how bad that movie is.
All right. Sean Hill.
Number one, Winter Soldier. Number two, Winter Soldier. And number three, Winter Soldier. That was the only one that I actually liked out of most of them. I would say X-Men. I like that one, but Captain America 2 just blows them all out of the water.
All right.
Spectacular entertainment.
Mr. Q Storm.
Well, as you know, I just had a birthday, so my memory is going. I barely remember all the movies that came out. But I can tell you, if we're talking about 2014, I'm going to stick with Cap. I mean, I was thinking Guardians, but I'm going to stick with Cap. They're two different films, so I'm going to stick with Captain America and Winter Soldier. And then Guardians of the Galaxy. And honestly, there were no other than Spider-Man, which I would not even consider in a best of for 2014. I cannot think of any other superhero movies that came out.
You didn't see X-Men? But
that's true. Okay, let's put X-Men out. And that's a distant three. Okay. And of all time, you asked that question as well, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we did the top five, and, you know, so you had my list. X-Men, First Class, the original Superman, I think I put Man of Steel, Dark Knight Rises.
Wow.
And that's right, I said it. And I can't remember the others that I put. I may have had Hulk on there. I know y'all going to hate me for that, but I think I had Hulk on there too.
Which Hulk?
The original Hulk.
Wow, okay.
Cosine.
All right, so my top for this year, I would Cap number one, Guardians, and then I would say X-Men, Days of Futures Past. Was there anything else other than Spider-Man? For some reason, I don't know why I'm thinking there was another one, but I would put Spider-Man. I actually saw that again recently. It's got a lot of problems, but I did enjoy it for some parts of it. Overall,
This Congress has less problems than
hilarious. In terms of all time for Marvel movies, I still have the Avengers in the number one, only because I was just blown away by that movie. Because it was characters I knew, and I just thought it was impossible to pull that off. And they didn't pull it off; they tore the roof off the sucker, as the funk would say. And I just, to me, that has yet to be done again. And then I would put second. Marvel-wise, Captain America, man. That Captain America 2 was a head bust. It was an improvement to the highest order. And just the action and Cap himself, the character, everything about it was just dope to me. And then I would probably put this movie third. And it's early to say that, but this was a surprising movie. Like, I was surprised. To me, they went all in with the science fiction aspect and the spaceship battles. It's remarkable. So I give it to him.
You know, and that is amazing. It's just like, can you go back and look at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith and that mind-numbing epileptic scene of that interstellar battle and compare that to what they put in this movie. It's just like, I understand technology has improved, but that was direction as well.
I agree. You know, I was the same effects company did both, from my knowledge, ILM. Fantastic work. Obviously, they just get better and better. But I just say that, yeah, the director, George Lucas versus, is it James Gunn?
James
Isn't
Gunn.
Isn't he the Breaking Bad guy?
I think you're right. Yeah.
He's obviously got a vision of, you know, what he wants his movies to look like, and I know it's a great vision, and I think he wrote this movie as well. And that guy is getting a visionary person to direct one of these superhero movies. My only thing, and this is not a slight on this movie at all, again, I'm just curious, like, if they try to cross these movies, you know, the tone of this movie is so heavy comic, and here's the thing, the challenge for Marvel, like, and I know they can do it, is to take the seriousness of a Captain America, or, you know, sometimes the seriousness of the Avengers possibly, and have those characters meld together, where so you can have a very serious Cap and you can have Rocket, you know, who's a fool, or you can have Groot or something and have them go. I would love to see Black Widow and Gamora. It would just be kick ass. But, you know, will they ever do it?
I'd love to see Black Widow and Gamora for another reason.
Oh, here you go.
I'm going to say, you can have Gamora. That actress does nothing for me.
She was excellent in this movie, though.
No, for me. I'm talking about the actress as a sex symbol.
Right. Oh, okay.
Here we go with the sexy.
What's funny is I think back to Iron Man 3 and how they spent so much time with Tony Stark having PTSD over the events in Manhattan. And I'm thinking, if they ever cross these two universes, he's just going to flat out have a heart attack.
I actually think they'll ignore that movie, almost kind of like that. Because everything you described, it was so ridiculous. And it's not his character from what we've seen in the other movies. I could see them just ignore it and he just be back to the old wisecracking, you know, Tony going toe-to-toe with these guys. But we'll see if they ever do it.
Can you just picture a scene of dialogue between Tony Stark and Rocket Raccoon? I would pay to see that.
I can, and it's in the book. and it's hilarious. So that's
why
why I'm like, I can't wait to see it on the screen, because it reads perfectly, and it's written the exact same way. So yeah, it would be amazing. All right.
One more thing. This is a spoiler too. Is near the end where they just had that throwaway line of, you know what? He's a really good kid. Maybe we should have delivered him to his father like we were paid to. That was just like, whoa. I should have hated that, but it was just like, okay, they setting up the sequels. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was another thing I thought was a little bit of a nitpick. It was disappointing where after the battle, they put in it was complete exposition where, oh, you're part alien. That's why you were able to hold the crystal. It's like, you couldn't have done that in a better way. I thought that was kind of lame, but that's my only nitpick.
I would say go read that new one they have. The way they introduce him at the beginning actually was way better to me, but it gave me understanding more of what the movie was talking about. But whether they touch on that or not is interesting. Last thing, let's talk about the end credits. All right, credits. Was that? I guess we can all say that was kind of a disappointment.
You know, I enjoyed the portion with Batista watching Groot grow, and then as he was getting his dance on, he just froze. That was funny.
Okay.
But the duck, yeah.
Oh, that's what the word they're talking about.
Okay. Well, so they show Howard the Duck is.
And who gives a shit? I never liked Howard the Duck.
One thing I was pointing out to Q early. If you watch the movie closely when they first show the collector in the movie, there's a cage on top of the screen, and it's in focus, but it's Howard the Duck. But your attention is looking at that man, so you don't see it. But I was looking at this real big screen, so it just kind of jumped out at me, and it looked like the Howard the Duck costume from the actual Howard the Duck movie, not what they showed at the end of this movie, which is slightly different. But I remember seeing, I was like, it's fucking Howard the Duck. And then it blurs it. And then the focus goes back on the dude. But they actually show it in the movie for a split second. There's probably a lot of things like that in the movie, I would imagine.
Well, the collector, you know, he's got everything. So for super comic book dorky guys like myself, I'm sure when I get it on Blu-ray and freeze frame it, I'll see a lot of things.
Yeah. And what was the dog's name? I see him in the books, too. I don't know his name. But he's
Cosmo.
Cosmo, okay.
But see, you know, what's interesting about that, I thought that was great because one of the first expeditions into space was by the Russians. They sent a dog up there. I think the dog's name was Laika or something like that. They sent a dog up into space, but they couldn't bring him back. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I didn't know that.
Damn, here's Q dropping the jewels.
That's why I was disappointed to see in the credits they call him Space Cosmic Dog or Space Dog. I'm like, no, that really happened. Or the dog going up into space really happened.
Right. Yeah, he's in the books. I see his pictures a lot. But I wanted to see something that sort of pushed further the, I don't know, you know, the grand story type of end credit. I just thought these are more sort of
easier.
But, yeah.
Actually, from a business standpoint, it's pretty smart because now that they've done that, I guarantee you there'll be a spike in demand of that god-awful Howard the Duck movie. It will sell again.
Probably will. Who knows, they don't try to reintroduce it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I tell you what, I was a huge fan of, I think it was Jim Gerber who created that character, or wrote that. It was written by Jim Gerber and drawn by Gene Colan. I loved
it. Steve Gerber,
yeah. They had the black and white paper magazines back in the 80s. I loved that. I tried to watch that Howard the Duck movie. I probably lasted maybe 10 minutes. I don't think anyone's going to be demanding that anytime soon.
All right. And that was direct. Was that directed by George Lucas?
Yes. Yeah. I believe.
What?
No. Oh, he produced it or something.
He produced it.
No, it was heavy Lucas it. Films, yeah.
I know is whoever went and gave a Disney or Kevin Feige the hard sell to make Guardians of the Galaxy, that dude deserves a raise because they're gonna make a shit ton of money selling Rocket Raccoon and Groot merchandise. Yeah.
That dude is
halfway through the movie, I was like, they're making $1 billion off this movie.
No, that dude, the guy who greenlit that, is sitting poolside right now with a kilo of blow and five chicks. Provided by the studio.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Guardians of the Galaxy. Go check it out. It's a must-see. Let us know what you think. And I'm sorry, go ahead. You had something?
I was going to say, we were asking who directed Howard the Duck. His name was Woodward Hayek.
Has he ever directed anything else?
yeah, Best Defense. And some film called French Postcards, never heard of it, and Messiah of Evil. He directed four films, Howard the Duck being the last film that he directed.
Yeah, there you go. That was a career killer.
That's why he's at my
Best Defense. Best Defense could have been a career killer, too.
Hold on. When you say be sexy, that was a good joke. I want
you. So that's why the guys at my Quickie Mart right now, you know, selling me cherry squishies.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next time. Geeked out. Yes. All right, peace.